Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you sent your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, that you have given him to us to be our shepherd. Father, what that means is that in him we have salvation. When we come as his sheep in faith, trusting in what he has done for us, we do that this morning. We come here in his name to worship you, to give you thanks for who you are and all you have done for us. But Father, we also come to hear again your voice speaking to us through your word. Do that now in such a way that our lives would be shaped and molded by you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm sure you've encountered the scene. I know I have more than once. A mom is at the store with her young child trying to get through the list of things to buy so she can get on to the other things on her long list of things to do. Little Timmy sees a toy display that catches his attention, pointing at it while looking back at his mom as if to say, "Mom, let's go look at that." Well, while mom is concentrating on determining which tomato sauce is the best bargain, Timmy starts wandering off toward the toys. In the blink of an eye, the two become separated. Timmy suddenly realizing he is cut off from mom. He went from being a curious kid to being a lost child. That's when the tears start, and Timmy seems to wander around in circles as if caught in a whirlpool of despair. When another woman tries to talk to him, Timmy doesn't really respond to her, but then he hears mom's voice and sees her face poking around the end of the aisle. And what's he do? He makes a beeline for her. You've seen it, I'm sure. She may have known where he was all along. But from Timmy's perspective, they were separated, and he was wandering around alone. Once back together, Timmy was at peace, and he could just be a kid again. Well, that kind of scene comes to mind as I hear this morning's second lesson. Rather than a mom shopping with her kids, Jesus uses the imagery of a shepherd calling to his sheep. Fully aware of how we as sheep have wandered away from the Lord as our shepherd, he comes looking for us, calling to us. Because he does, we can be restored in our relationship with God. Rather than wandering alone, we can be at peace and live freely as his sheep. Well, in terms of today's lesson, we have sort of gone back in time from recent weeks. The Feast of Dedication mentioned here took place in the month of December, and it is what we now know as Hanukkah. What we heard about last week regarding the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples included the risen Jesus speaking of his followers as my sheep. Well, this morning's passage, though from an earlier conversation, highlights that truth about Jesus being our shepherd, that being realized by those who are his sheep. What was going on here? Well, making his way through the temple complex, Jesus came to a section of what was called the Court of Gentiles. That was one of the more open and accessible sections, meaning it would have provided the potential for the broadest audience possible. It was there that some Jewish leaders persisted in demanding Jesus answer their question about who he is, in effect saying, "Yes or no, are you the Christ?" Well, Jesus' response to the pressing question was both clear and veiled. Clear in that he points out they had heard his words and seen his works, all of which give the affirmative answer. Veiled only in that they would not believe what they heard and what they saw because they were not his sheep. F.F. Bruce makes an astute observation. If his teachings and his works didn't convince them, no words would have, no matter how plainly spoken. Well, it is here that Jesus sort of shifts his focus from non-believers to believers, from those who are not his sheep to those who are his sheep. Listen again to what he says, picking up in verse 27. Jesus is speaking and says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Rather than wandering on our own, trying to find our own way, Jesus is the good shepherd for each and all of us who are his sheep, which has important implications for our lives. He knows us, we follow him, he gives us eternal life, and we dwell secure in his care. Let's look at each of those more closely this morning for a minute. First, with Jesus as our shepherd and we living as his sheep, Jesus knows us. He knows our names. More than seeing his followers as a glob of smelly wool, the Lord has a deep awareness and knowledge of each one of his sheep, and so is able to call us by name. Maybe I shouldn't point this out on Mother's Day, but there were times when my mom couldn't come up with my name. That may have something to do with the fact that there were five kids in my family and I was the youngest. And in a moment of frustration, she could get flustered going through the whole list before finally getting it right. I learned that wasn't the time to tease her or make fun of her about that. As our shepherd, the Lord never forgets or struggles to come up with our names as his sheep. Along with knowing our names, he also knows our needs, our pains, our longings, our joys. The fact is, he knows us better than we know ourselves. I think of those occasions more than once when Jesus encountered a person with particular needs and asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Or, "Do you want to be well?" Jesus wasn't asking because he didn't know. He was giving the person the opportunity to express their need and their desire for Jesus. In each case, the person had to answer the question, "What do I really need? What do I really want?" As our shepherd, the Lord knows us intimately and fully as his sheep. Rather than being put off by that, he gives himself to us in ways we most need. Because he knows us, he does that with divine wisdom and effectiveness. That is the penetrating character of how the Lord, our shepherd, knows us as his sheep. Well, second, with Jesus as our shepherd and we living as his sheep, we follow him. In today's first lesson, we heard about the transition point faced by the people of Israel. God had been working through Moses to lead them up to the promised land, but now God would work through Joshua to lead them into the land. Don't miss the pattern of God shepherding his people, so that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. More description of that transition is given in Deuteronomy, where Moses speaks directly to Joshua, saying, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." The promise of the Lord as their shepherd was clear. But so was the call for them to follow him as faithful sheep. When we consider whether or not to follow Jesus as our shepherd, we have questions, don't we? When we ask our questions, he gives answers, but not always the ones we want, as was the case with those questioning him by the temple. He calls us to be faithful sheep who follow him as our shepherd, and we ask, how far do we have to go? How long will it take? And he answers, I will be with you the whole way for the whole time. We ask, are there going to be a lot of boulders? How many and how big will they be? He answers, I will help you get over or around each and every one. We ask, what will we eat along the way? He answers, I will provide what you need. We ask, what about rest stops? And he answers, I will be your strength and you will find your rest in me. Those who reject Jesus' invitation to be his sheep find themselves wandering on their own, trying to figure out their own destination, finding boulders to be menacing, driven by their own distorted desires to an imbalanced diet in all kinds of ways, coming quickly to the end of their own strength with no alternative for continuing on. They have no sense of what, where, or why they are going at all, prompting them to search for false shepherds as substitutes or to simply give up completely. I don't know that it is more pronounced today than at other times in history, but it sure seems to be intense, doesn't it? People wandering from one place to another to find meaning, to figure out who they are and why they exist. Desperate to come up with answers, they choose explanations which feel good at the moment, but tomorrow may be something different. Explanations based on human distortions, but not real answers. We're talking about sheep without a shepherd. When we do choose to follow Jesus as our shepherd, with us as his sheep, we find him to be the good shepherd he promises to be. Having laid down his life for his sheep, he calls us to entrust our lives to him as our shepherd. We choose to follow him rather than wandering after any other substitute or pretender, including our own frivolous devices and desires. We look to him to understand our personal identity and to guide our thoughts and actions. We follow his example of serving others, prompting us to do things like our annual baby shower for Genesis. We live as his sheep, attracting others to become his sheep as we bear witness to him. That is how we follow him as his sheep. Well, third, with Jesus as our shepherd and we living as his sheep, we are given eternal life. I know that can be sort of a vague concept for us. As has been pointed out, the Bible gives more description of what it is than definition. The best definition coming from Jesus as he was praying for his followers on the night before his crucifixion, saying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, this certainly includes what we mean when we talk about going to heaven. It also includes our lives here and now. At its most basic level, to have eternal life given to us by Jesus is for us to share in his relationship with the Father. As we are united with Jesus, we are united with God. As we become one with Him, we become one with the Father. The salvation He provides brings us from being disconnected from God, dead in our sin and wandering in the darkness, to relationship with God, forgiven and washed clean and living with Him in the light and truth of that fellowship now and forever. That is eternal life known by His sheep. And then fourth, with Jesus as our shepherd and we living as His sheep, we are secure. It would be virtually impossible to calculate how much people have invested in trying to make themselves secure. From political and military security to personal and relational security, the quest is endless. The multitude of human opinions and efforts are indicative of human wanderings cut off from the one who has made them and is therefore the source of true security. To be held secure in the care of Jesus as our shepherd is to be held secure in the hand of God, precisely because, as Jesus says about Himself, I and the Father are one. There's no sense of divided means or divided methods or divided purpose or divided love. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To be saved by Jesus is to be saved by the Father. To be loved by Jesus is to be loved by the Father. Our security as His sheep rests on our shepherd. We have any doubt about the significance or depth of what Jesus is saying here, we need only look at the reaction of those hearing Him say these things. As has happened before, again, they pick up stones in order to stone Him to death. Why? Because, as they say in their own words, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." They understood the claim Jesus had made, but they failed to recognize Jesus to be the Messiah. Rejecting Him, they were left to wander as sheep without a shepherd. The positive contrast for those who do recognize Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, who recognize His voice and follow Him, is that they are held secure in His hand. No thing, no event, no person, no force whatsoever can undo what Jesus has done for those who are His sheep. That's not to say that attempts won't be made, but nothing, not even physical death itself, can snatch us from the hand of Jesus. And that is true forever. When I lived in Massachusetts, I had a friend named Gordon who raised sheep. I remember going to his place and standing by the fence one day waiting for Gordon to come out. And I was just kind of watching the sheep. And the way they acted, they seemed kind of bored and grumpy. They're butting each other and just kind of wandering around not sure what to do with themselves. That was until Gordon came out and started calling them. It was like their whole demeanor changed. Hearing the voice of their shepherd had that effect on them. When we know Jesus as our shepherd, we are free to live as His sheep. That relationship has a transforming impact on us. And as we follow Him, we come to realize the benefits He has promised. No more wandering aimlessly on our own. For we follow the One who gives us and leads us into eternal life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to us and calling out to us to let us know that You come as the Lord who is our shepherd. We thank you that you have made that known. But Lord, the call hangs out there, waiting for a response. Help us to hear clearly that it is you speaking those words, inviting us, each one of us, to come to you, to follow you as your sheep, to live now and forever in relationship with you, and because of that, in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Lord, let us be your sheep. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.